Hi, and welcome to the Jump Into podcast. I am your host, Evan Manning, and today we've got a really cool episode. I've been pitching this for a while of doing one on health and nutrition, so we're going to jump into that, and we're going to do an episode featuring around that. So I brought in a guest that I've just met, actually, in person for the first time now, Mike Scala, and he's going to hopefully give us some good information and some good background, and we can learn a little bit today on some of this health and fitness stuff. So welcome to the podcast.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. So do you want to take us through a bit of your background and kind of, you know, I mean, you kind of gave me a little bit of a wrap, but maybe for the audiences that we have, a little bit of where, you know, how you kind of came about and kind of your journey with this and why you chose to go down this field.
Sure. So as I, you know, as we all go through trying to figure out what we're going to do after high school, I was always an athlete. Playing basketball, track and field. I ended up going to Alvernia, played basketball for them. And through the midst of that, obviously, even at D3, I was a smaller guy, so I had to hit the weights.
Smaller.
Right? Smaller guy then, yeah, not so much now. I get that all the time. Yeah. Everyone thinks I was a wrestler or a football player. And I just really fell in love with the gym. You know, I got the biggest guy on the team who was actually – still to this day, one of my best friends. We started working out, got to go with our strength and conditioning coach there. And I was like, oh man, you know, exercise science and sports medicine, right? That's kind of where I was going. Alvernia didn't have one. Left Alvernia, went to DeSales, entered their program. And then through that, I was just like, you know what? I don't even know if this is for me. Okay. I want hands-on, one-on-one.
Right.
So I started looking up all your personal training certifications.
Yep.
And obviously there's so many that you can do at home, right. Self-taught. You get all the books, you take the tests, boom. Right. Again, didn't want that.
Okay.
So I ended up finding what was called the National Personal Training Institute,
sure.
Or NPTI,
okay.
Philly-based location. Went down for an open house, checked it out, and fell in love and entered into their six-month program. So I went through a whole six-month program with them of in the classroom, learning how, you know, the body's going to function, how different movements and how the muscle's going to, you know, essentially rip and tear during a workout, depending if you're, you know, lifting really heavy or not.
Okay.
From there, we moved into the gym. Now we're focusing again on the form, but with the weight, right. So we can understand how it's feeling. And then we also did up to 1,800 hours in talking nutrition and just fueling the body with the right stuff and to get the most out of your workout.
Okay.
Then now I'm on 15 years of being a personal trainer. Some of my clients do it all. You know, they want the nutrition aspect and they want the training aspect.
Right.
Some just want one or the other.
Okay.
So everything I do is geared toward the client.
Okay.
And I've been from a high school athlete all the way up to a college athlete.
What sport did you do? As an athlete?
For myself?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was a basketball player and track and field.
Nice. What position are you playing basketball?
Basketball, I was a point guard or shooting guard.
Certainly much taller than a point guard, but yep.
Yeah. track and field, I was actually a sprinter and a long jumper.
Okay.
Yeah. Makes so sense. When people hear about that now, right. That – you know, kind of the same reaction you gave me where it's, yeah. Like, there's no way you were a track kid, let alone a sprinter.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah. So those were my two sports. I never jumped into the football really.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was little,
sure.
You know, little, I did everything. Soccer, baseball, football.
Trying to find your niche, right?
Yeah. But yeah, the go-tos were basketball, track and field.
Okay.
So yeah.
That's awesome. So, a little bit. So one of the reasons why I thought this was super important, so I'll give you a quick background on myself and kind of why I feel that this is super important and why I really wanted to focus an episode on this. So I have had an interesting health journey myself. Like most people think, oh, he's really healthy, blah, 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 blah. Like I was a swimmer growing up. I could not gain weight to save my life when I was swimming because we would just be pumping thousands of laps up and down a pool every day. And to me, like the words health and fitness, I think go hand in hand. I think a lot of people look at the fitness, but skip what I would call the health, which is the nutritional part. And looking back in my life, like that's where I really missed the mark growing up. And so now once my career has ended, and I'm sure maybe people like yourself have realized this, that once you're done being an athlete, your body and how you need to eat and take care of it is going to be different because I'm no longer grinding away in a pool, right? So I'd lose weight in a hurry. Like I couldn't eat enough. So then finally I went to some nutritionist and I was like, help me gain weight, but I want to like stay trim at the same time. And I could not get a nutritionist to help write a diet for me to accomplish that. I'd always end up bloated and puffy looking and all that stuff. And I was like, this isn't what I'm hoping for. Right. So I bounced around to a few different people. And then I ended up stumbling across someone who was promoting keto carnivore. And I kind of jumped on the bandwagon for a minute and I was like, well, I'll give this a shot and see what happens. And it actually ended up working out for me in accomplishing like my weight. I was able to continue to gain weight, but I was able to also trim down the way that I wanted to as well. So it kind of found that balance. So now I've kind of gone to strictly carnivore. And I found that that's kind of helped with some of the things, like I told you before, like I had my gallbladder issue and that started way back when I was eating a bunch of crap. I was having gallbladder attacks. And then finally it just got to the point where I had to have it out, but you know, cheat days and everything like that probably destroyed me. But anyway, I found that that works. So I wanted to get your opinion on like this whole health and fitness and kind of where you see it as a personal trainer and how they possibly go hand in hand.
So for me, I always push both because, you know, like you're saying, you know, if you're this very active person, you know, when you're little, right? Almost all little kids are.
Of course.
You know, you're a high school athlete, same thing. As we get older, yeah, now we have our career. Well, what is your career?
Right.
You know, for an example, I actually have two clients who are anesthesiologists.
Okay.
Right. So for me to say to the two of them, I want you to eat at this time, this time, this time, this time.
It's not possible.
Right? Okay. So now we got how do I fit their work mold into a health and fitness mold?
Exactly.
Right. And that was actually, it was a little challenging because again, like, you can't just bump out of a surgery to go eat.
Right. Please hold.
Yeah. So with that, it was just like little things. Let's try this because again, health and fitness to me is also trial and error.
Okay. Yep.
Right. We're not all built the same.
Agreed.
I may need more, right? Like, you know, like right now, if you look at, you know, the two of us, obviously I'm taking in a lot more so I can keep my size.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And my runners, they're going to take in more, but it's depending on what time.
Right.
Right. So it's also, to me, it's all about balance.
Okay.
You know, you said how, you know, the keto, the carnivore, you know, really works for you.
Yeah.
Me personally, I think those things fit a small percentage of people out there.
Agreed.
Because it's strict.
Yes.
Right. And there's not a lot of wiggle room in there.
Yeah.
What I've seen over the last 15 years is if I've given a client the strict, hey, I don't want you to stray away from this, they stop doing it.
Okay.
So, okay, again, let's find the balance.
Yeah.
Let's have the give and take
Agreed.
Here. But then all consistency.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, obviously, yes. I, you know, I'm a personal trainer. I'm in the gym a lot.
Yeah.
But my full-time job right now that takes up, you know, 60, 70 hours of my week is kind of a little contradictory. But, yeah, I'm a bartender at a private golf course. So I'm preaching one thing and then serving all these people alcohol all day long. But even for me, it's consistency. Uh-huh. So if I'm – this time of the year, if I'm lucky, I'm in the gym 3 times.
Right.
Now, granted, I can get in there for probably an hour and a half to 2 hours, which, again, isn't ideal for most people.
Right.
You know, if If you're getting a half hour in, great. You know,
Something.
anything is better than nothing.
Exactly.
But if you look at it from consistency, whether you're doing carnivore, whether you're doing keto, whether you're just trying to stay in the line of where you want to be consistent with it and you'll stick to it.
Sure.
From what I've seen. And again, you know, that's my personal opinion. I have a very, very good friend who he in the fitness world, he's a genius. That's all I could say about him. Just like I joke with him all the time, I'm like, dude, man, everything you touch, you turn to gold. But he's just that type of person. At one point he owned like two or three gyms, sold them all. He's ranked in bodybuilding, you know, he just wrote his first book on how to maintain consistency in a sense, because he's also big on bourbon and cigars. So it's kind of cool. He does this thing now where it's like, and he's big on micros and macros. So he'll do, he's got a podcast, you know, about it. If I'm not, I forget what he calls it,
That's okay.
but he talks about how bourbons, microfitting your bourbon into micros and macros. So again, like consistency. But if you yourself don't have a basic understanding of micros and macros or keto, or you know, like carnivore, you can usually pretty much get the plan,
Yeah,
right?
of course.
The other two, you got to know what you're doing so you don't do something worse. So if you don't know how to do it, or you don't know someone who can guide you, I tell people all the time, I'm like, I wouldn't do it. Especially for me being, because I am a type 1 diabetic, so obviously I've been watching kind of what I eat my entire life.
Makes sense.
But a lot of keto diets, setting our bodies into ketosis, which is stopping our output of insulin. So if you're doing it wrong, you can directly affect your body and its insulin
100%.
production. Just like a bodybuilder who, you know, is taking testosterone. Well, he's telling it's he the testosterone you're taking in, you're injecting, is telling your body essentially, I don't got to produce testosterone anymore.
Because you're
So now you run the risk of, if you do it too much, is your body ever gonna start doing it again?
That makes sense.
So it is a lot of, you know, like you stay consistent, know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, yeah, research or find someone who does.
Well, that was my big thing, right? So the big thing that I and the reason why I brought up my story, and this is what I like about what you're saying, is having the flexibility to tailor it to each individual. And I felt like the first view that I went to, it was like, well, this is what we know because what we were taught, but it wasn't necessarily tailoring a plan to fit what I was trying to achieve within myself. So, and I'm a huge, I agree with you. I think everyone's different. Everyone's body's going to respond to things differently. Like, you're with the type 1 diabetes, so I'm sure you've got to watch, like you said, your intake quite a bit. And so, and then I look at even famous people, like Dwayne The Rock Johnson's a perfect example. He posts all the time the amount of crap he eats all day long. And I'm like, how does he look the way he does and packs in like pancakes every day? Like, it's wild.
For the sake of you and I not getting sued, I won't say probably what's going on. But there's all the other stuff out there. But yeah, I mean, with you going to, you know, your few nutritionists that you went to. So over the course of the 15 years I've been doing this, I've had people, you know, come to me. They've told me, you know, kind of a similar story. Oh, I went to this nutritionist and they guaranteed this and the opposite happened. And it's like, and I've seen it more happen more than I really would care to admit, but it's because yes, they are going off of what they're taught. And I'm not saying what they're taught is wrong, but if you and I both walk into the office of the same nutritionist, And we tell them what we need. Well, are we going to get what we need, or are we going to get the exact same thing that'll
Right.
work for one of us and not the other?
Exactly.
And a big thing I see all the time is I'll have clients come to me and they're being told to like eat all this fruit because fruit's healthy. Absolutely it is. But if we take in too much, well, that's got a lot of natural sugar.
Yep.
Yes, natural sugar is better than added sugar,
Of course.
but it's still sugar. And even one of my clients in general, like, I mean, I cut back their fruit intake,
Okay.
and that alone, they lost 5 pounds.
I believe that actually.
And it's just like those little tweaks that if you actually sit down and listen to the person, listen to what their goal is, what they're trying to achieve, what they've been doing. Okay, and you tweak to what they've been doing. Because a lot of times, now some people, obviously I get where they have nowhere to start. And all right, so we're hitting the ground at ground zero and we're
Building it up.
making our changes there. Others, and for instance, my runners, okay, they've been running. They've been doing things almost their entire lives, but now again, they have their career. We're all getting older. As we get older, things don't move as fastly anymore, right?
For sure.
We gotta work a little bit harder. Our recovery time is slight, starts to slow down. And I was actually just saying this to my girlfriend, I think yesterday. I'm like, God, I feel like I got hit by a truck. And because I'm still in the gym, I still throw around the heavy stuff when I want to. But waking up the next day or day two or day three, it's like, yep, there it is. In my 20s, I didn't get that way, Now I do. So even like with me, someone who's been in the game for a while, I've done my own changes. I've worked out depending on what I'm looking to, what my goal is. So like track and field, I worked out one way. And basketball, I worked out a different way.
Makes sense.
Now, everyone's big on, you bulk in the winter and you cut for the summer. Again, I do the same thing. I'll do my heavy lifting throughout the winter and then come, closer to summertime. All right, let's dial the weight back and let's go for more reps, than anything. But yeah.
How do you so here's an interesting question because you brought up the sugar point, and I think that this is interesting. So I actually had a conversation with a former colleague probably about a year or so ago. Him and I were on different paths with our dieting, right? Like I was still doing my carnivore stuff back then, and he was like trying to bulk up. So he was just pounding carb after carb after carb, right? And he gave me shit. Like we went on a cruise for a week and he gave me shit. And because I was not eating hardly any carbs on the cruise. And he's like, "How the hell do you have any energy to do anything?" He's like, "Your body needs sugar to do stuff." And I'm like, "I don't agree with that," right? Like I was up before him every day. I was out later than him every night. Like just heaps worlds more energy. And I'm not necessarily saying that I'm doing things right and he's doing things wrong, but I don't know that I fully believe in the notion that you need to eat artificial sugars, like you're saying, in order to produce energy. I feel like it gives you that quick hit, but it doesn't sustain you, right? Like, how do you feel about something when someone talks like that?
So I agree with you in that aspect. And that's where you break it down to, we have what's considered a simple carb and a complex carb, right? So with that, you have your carbs that spike you, or your sugars that, well, any sugar is going to spike you. So you're going to have the spike, and you're going to have the crash. The question is, do we spike and crash right away, or do we kind of gradually spike, level out, and then gradually come back down? So that's where it comes into your simple and complex. To your friend's point or your colleague's point, does your body, like, you're not eating anything, how don't you have energy? You need fuel. Yeah, a big thing I like to say, and I kind of say it in like a joking manner, but I'm like, your car, whether you got gas or electric, well, your car's not going to run unless it's got gas, unless it's charged up, right? So if we look at our bodies, right, the body's the car, our food is our electric or our gas source.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't take enough in, yeah, you can feel drowsy and whatnot, right. But what are you doing throughout the day?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I also say that it depends too, because, you know, you got people who are night owls and you got people who are early birds. I hate the morning.
I absolutely hate it. Yeah, me too.
Do I get up early? Yes. But if I was able to pick getting up at 7 a.m. or staying up till 7 a.m., you know, I'm going to stay up till 7 a.m.
Yep, instead, right?
But yeah, you know, it's, you want to just having the balance, understanding your simple, your complex, understanding that what you're taking in, you know, like read your label.
Right.
Does it say it has natural sugar in or 100 grams of added sugar in?
Right.
You know, and again, if you can't pronounce half the stuff on the label, odds are you probably don't want it inside.
Yes, I would agree. That's a fair point.
And, you know, and I do laugh at different things when it comes, you know, you go to the grocery store and, you know, you figure, all right, I'm going to go organic, right? Organic's healthier. Yes. Now, granted, there are some things in there that, again, if you're not reading the label,
right,
just because it's in the organic store, the organic aisle, doesn't necessarily mean
agreed. It's
still the greatest thing. But, you know, I laugh because you could look at that. Okay, here's this pack of chocolate chip cookies, right?
Yeah.
They're organic. They're made all natural. I can pronounce everything in them. You get 12 cookies in a pack, and it's costing you $40.
Right.
But then you go over here and get the bad one, and you're getting a family size pack that's got however many cookies in, you're spending $5.
Right.
Why does the thing that's got all the fake stuff and additives in cost less than the stuff that isn't going to last as long?
Valid question.
I don't even have the answer to that question. But, you know, again, you know, you and I kind of touched based on it, you know, before we started, where, you know, whether what side of the line people are on, how they feel. Well, you got Kennedy now out there who his voice has been big, but right, now it's even bigger.
Right.
Does he even have the, I guess, power to break through that mold?
Right.
To, yes, make foods healthier again.
Right.
Because, yeah, you can look around and other countries will not allow certain things to enter their food or enter their country in general, right, because they know the danger and the side effects it has towards the people.
Well, just look at the red food dye. It took us how long to ban that? And every other country in the world has banned red food dye. And we took us until like November of last year. And we've known for decades it's terrible, but here we are.
Well, so, even you go back to, you know, COVID,
right,
you know, the shutdown.
Yeah.
So we shut down certain grocery stores that we weren't allowed to go into.
Right.
However, every fast food restaurant basically stayed open, yeah, because what? They had a drive-through?
Yeah. But then what are people eating?
Yes. You know, I mean, I live right by McDonald's.
Right.
You know, right by McDonald's. And if I got an early day to work, how the drive-through is lined, or if I'm a late night coming home from work and, you know, now you got everybody that's that 11 to midnight and it's lined, and I'm just like, hey, you could be home, you could have made something,
right,
and in bed by now, but it's gonna take you 45 minutes just to get through this drive-through right now.
Right.
It just blows my mind.
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
So that's a good point. And I mentioned this a few episodes ago when I gave my health update, and I'm going to put you on the spot here for a minute. I feel like the U.S. as a whole is in what I would consider a health crisis. I think a lot of people are overweight, and I feel like there's a lot of that because of what we, and some of that can be attributed to the economy, how much things cost, you know, like you were saying, and I think it's a good point to touch on, but like as a personal trainer or someone in this industry, how do you feel the U.S. as a whole is when it comes to people's health?
So I actually have made the comment before that I feel the United States is the fat capital of the world. And I hate yeah. to say it, but again, you know, you look at the United States, you look at different parts of it, you know, different areas that it's just, there's nowhere to go to get something healthy, right? Or we just make this push to continuously do the junk. And I mean, I won't stand here and say I'm a complete cold turkey straight edge on junk food. I will eat junk food because every now and then, yeah, you just want it,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. But the amount and it, the amount of fast food restaurants we have within a mile radius, yeah. right? And how they all use the same coloring on the buildings.
Yeah.
So it's been a known fact that the colors reds and yellows draw you in.
Okay.
So if you look at a lot of fast food restaurants, they either have one, if not both,
right.
of those colors in them.
That makes complete sense. I actually didn't know that. That's actually really interesting.
Yeah, but it draws you in. Oh, yeah. Hey, McDonald's, there's that big yellow arc.
Right.
Oh,
let me it makes sense. There.
Yeah. You know, Arby's, Chick-fil-A, it's all red, yeah. you know? But yeah, until someone's able to break through the barrier and say, "Hey, look, this is what's happening,"
right?
There is going to be, unfortunately, there is going to be no change,
right?
And I also hate to say the fact that I kind of feel like when you look at fast foods, a lot of junk foods, what is in them is a direct cause as to why we have such a high obesity rate, a high, you know, heart problems, cholesterol, you know, whatever it is, anything you can look at.
Yeah.
It all comes back to what you're taking in. Yeah. And then also how is it being prepared?
Right.
And until you find someone that will take a stand and try and combat it, who knows if change will ever happen.
Exactly.
You know, some might say, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist, but like, hey, like let's look at cancer.
Right.
Right. We're supposed to have some of the smartest people in the world working around the clock to find this and that.
Right.
Is there a cure to cancer or is there not?
Right.
Because if you look at what chemo costs at the end of the day, and it's a multi-billion dollar company, well, what would we rather do?
Right.
Pump people with chemo or actually cure the very thing that they have?
Yeah.
I mean, like my dad passed away from cancer.
Okay.
You know, and even kind of coming back to when you say about the going to the nutritionist.
Yeah.
He was in the hospital one time. They came in with a piece of paper, let's say a couple pieces of paper.
Yeah.
And I listened to the so-called nutritionist talk to him. And he goes, "Oh, well, you know, my son has a background in this and, you know, he's a personal trainer."
Mm.
I looked at it and I go, "So what Google document did you print it off of?"
Right.
Because I'm like, that's essentially what this is. You didn't give him a plan.
Yeah.
You gave him foods to eat.
Right.
He could have gone home and Googled this himself.
Right.
I'm like, so I literally ripped it up in front of the nutritionist standing in a hospital room. And I'm like, I'll take care of it.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
You know, but, you know, again, like, are those things out there? Are they not out there? Are our foods as bad as some people will say they are? Or are they not? But at the end of the day, if you look at all the health risks that we have here, you look at how our foods are made, if you're not doing a lot of it, you know, from scratch by yourself, Depending, okay, is it organic? Is it not organic? Because again, you can go to the store and get the organics, but now were those sprayed with any
Well, that, yeah,
pesticides?
to
You
say.
know, like
They're
with
still
all that
getting
type
sprayed,
of
aren't
stuff.
they? Yeah.
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 You
So.
know, so that's even when it comes down to making sure, you know, you're cleaning them properly.
Right.
And even the different types of fruits and vegetable cleaners that are out there. Oh, it's this, it's that, it's all natural. Okay, is it?
Right.
Right? Because I look at that in a way, okay, that's marketing, right? Because I could go get a thing of vinegar, soak my fruits and vegetables in vinegar, and it is going to do the exact same thing, if not better.
Right. Well, talk to any cleaner just who does cleaning around the house, and most of them use vinegar now to clean homes as opposed to anything else because they found out that it just cleans everything naturally. Naturally. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. And I agree. I think, kind of what the U.S. it's definitely the obesity capital. I agree with that. We have problems, and it's interesting that you brought the whole cancer thing. And obviously, I'm sorry to hear about your dad. That's obviously tough. And I'm sure being a nutritionist, that's got to be hard as well. And I had an aunt who passed away from cancer as well. And seeing the struggles and things like that. And I always found it ironic because it was like, they put you through chemo and you go through all these things, but then also what they feed you while you're in the hospital or you're going through those treatments is like counteractive to what you're doing, I feel like. And like even my gallbladder surgery, like I had gallbladder surgery and they're like, okay, no greasy fat foods for, a week. Well, the first thing that they give me is a little menu, and on there it's like greasy fat foods. Okay. Tell me I can't eat this stuff, but that's all you're gonna serve me for dinner. How great. So
Well, that's even, you know, right now with, you know, my bartending job with the golf course I'm at, you know, because of the weather, we haven't gone full blown for anything. So our one restaurant, we have a very limited menu, and I think we were running it for 2 weeks, and finally I go to my cooks. I'm like, guys, I need a salad option. I need a chicken option.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we have the fish taco on there. I go, it's a fish taco that's breaded that you drop in the deep fryer. I
Right.
go, every option we're giving these people are red meats or deep fried. People are getting more health conscious, trying to stay somewhat strict, but yeah, I'm gonna give the leeway here and there. I go, I either need us to order chicken so we have a chicken option that's not being thrown in the deep fryer, we get the fish taco back that we were serving through the bulk of the season last year, which was seared, not deep fried. Or yeah, we throw some of our salad options out there. And a lot of it's because it's the beginning of the season. We're not ordering these huge amounts of food yet because we'll throw more of it out than we'll serve it. But yeah, I mean, my one cook, he goes, okay, well, I could probably put together this BLT salad because we have BLT on the menu. And it essentially is the exact same as what we call our chop salad. It's just we're substituting bacon for chicken, which, okay, is that a plus or a minus, depending on who you ask. And then we haven't really brought in any eggs yet. So that salad would normally have eggs on it. But and then he whipped up an avocado ranch dressing. We put it on the menu. At the end of the one day, the next day we sold seven. So I'm like, see? You
Makes
know,
sense.
you got to give the healthier options.
Right.
And again, give and take. So working at the golf course, I can tell you right now, the people that are coming, they're gonna give when it comes to, I'm gonna pick the healthier food option. Because I'm gonna bring in a cooler and you're gonna load it up with seven IPAs at 8%, and I'm gonna go out and play golf,
Yeah,
you know?
exactly. Yeah. Oh man. And it's interesting. So like the one thing, and I don't know if you've seen this in the news, but I saw that there's restaurants out there now that so obviously certain companies can get different labels and things like that. They're now doing a seed oil free push with restaurants. I don't know if you've seen that as
Have
well.
not seen
Yeah.
that
So
yet,
now there's
no.
apparently if you So apparently there's finally one, I think it's maybe like one or two companies I saw in the news that have finally officially been able to declare this label. But even like some of theirs, like one company I was watching this about, they were trying to use avocado oil instead of seed oils to cook food in. And like even like the avocado oils that they were using had traces of seed oil in it. So they had to keep digging and finding and spending more money to find a company that would allow them that was completely seed oil free. And this other company goes in and then tests the food and the oils and all that stuff that they're using to cook to see if there is any traces of it in there. And if it's not, they now give them that stamp of approval. And so now
Wow.
those restaurants can now carry that around, because I know seed oils become a huge controversial topic because of what it can do to the body as well. So apparently there's now a push for restaurants to make that transition also. So I found that to be interesting.
And even with that, is that going to cause that restaurant to have to increase pricing? Keep it
100%.
standard, and that's another reason why I almost feel like here in the US, we try to be cost efficient, I
Yeah,
feel like.
we do.
But with that, what's the damage that we're doing being cost efficient? Are there certain things that should they really cost that much? Sure they not. Now, take beef for example. I am type 1 diabetic, insulin dependent. My out of pocket right now for my insulin is $450.
Jesus.
Now that's after insurance covers what they cover.
Jesus.
So for anybody out there that wants to make the push that it's down to $100, I can tell you that's a lie. No matter what person in government is saying it is not true, unless you are more on the senior citizen on Medicare or Medicaid. But as far as anything else goes, or you're not newly diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, I mean, the out of pocket is
That's
just, it's
crazy.
ridiculous. And here, this is a life sustaining drug. And I don't do well personally on generic forms of things. So I'm taking the OG of them all. Somehow, with all the new versions that have come out, the cost of the original one has gone up while everything else comes down. And I just, one of my things is the newer stuff, I've tried it, but I have to take more of it to get the same results. Where with the original form, I can take less of it to get the same results. I also take a, I'm a part of a holistic health and wellness company that do supplements. Their one supplement, since I have been on that has been able to help me decrease my insulin intake but still function at the same level. And that whole product is all about breaking down your oxidative stress level in your body. Most people, you throw that term out there, they don't know
I have
what
no
we're talking
idea
about, right?
either.
So, oxidative stress is a level in our body. We all have it. There's really no way around it, but it's not really a stress level, I would say you feel. So, you figure, hey, I'm stressed out because of work. You got all these projects. But if you would look up cause and effects of oxidative stress, basically anything that could go wrong with our bodies can be directly linked back to that.
Oh, really? Okay.
So there are ways, so like coffee, for instance, can help break down your oxidative stress level. Blueberries can help do it. But the amount of coffee and the amount of blueberries you're going to have to drink and eat, well, now you're going to have a negative effect because you're either going to be cracked out of caffeine or all the natural sugar in those blueberries are going to skyrocket your blood sugar. So with this, you're not getting any of that. They've had, it's, I think they were on like 15, 16 pre-reviewed studies. So like a lot of universities have, top universities out there have done testing on it, have there's done their studies. A while back, when the company was kind of first getting started, it was actually talked about on the news. And so That's in my field now with personal training and health and fitness, and that's pretty much a big supplement that I will push for any of my clients to take. And the thing I like most about it is the company realized just throwing it into a vitamin shop or a GNC or any supplement store out there, it didn't work, right? Because everyone's just looking at it like, well, I don't understand this. Well, what is
What
this?
does it mean?
So they took it all back. Now, we get trained on the product, we know how to talk about the product, and then once you say it, it's like, okay, hey,
Makes sense.
that sounds like it. I want to try it. So like I put a lot of my clients, on it, and I take it. My mom takes it. I don't know if she's gotten her fiance to get on board with it, not her yet, but I don't really ask that question. Hey, you want to take it, take it,
Your business.
But even like things like that, that help your overall health and wellness, because obviously, all right, there's no cure for any disease we have coming out anytime soon, right? I've looked at the different things where now they're saying, oh, hey, we can take a pig's pancreas and transplant it, this and that. There's not enough out there that's saying that's going to work.
I wouldn't trust that.
So like me, I'm always going to, if there's something that's looks like it could be beneficial to helping me, especially with my insulin intake, because now obviously the less I need to take in, the less I got to spend on
Gonna
it.
say cheaper for you, right?
Because actually a couple of weeks ago I went to the pharmacy and the girl goes, are you aware of what this cost you? I go, yeah, but my options are pay for it or die. So I'd rather pay for
Seems to be the logical choice.
it. And maybe down the line something will change, something will happen, but unfortunately it's all a business. And until we can break through the barriers and hold companies, whether it's an insurance company, a pharmaceutical company, hold them responsible for it. Because like I wasn't born with type 1
I
diabetes.
wouldn't think so, right?
I actually, from what I was told by from doctors when I got diagnosed, that I was given a bad batch of the MMR vaccine, which directly caused a virus within me internally that I had no idea was even happening. And then, directly affected and killed my pancreas. And then, lo and behold, at 4 years old, I get diagnosed as a type 1 diabetic.
Jesus. It's a wild ride as a 4-year-old, isn't it?
But I kind of look at it now, and I don't know if I'd be the person I am today if I didn't get it at a young age. Because I just looked at it as like, okay, whatever. All right, I got to stick myself with a needle to get myself insulin. Okay, like I still ran around with my friends. I still did sports. Did I have, the bad low blood sugar attacks a couple of times? Absolutely. But to say I'd be in the health and fitness world today if I wasn't a type 1 diabetic, I have no idea.
It's crazy how something like that can change you. So to switch gears real quick, since we focus a lot on the health and nutritional standpoint, let's talk about fitness for a minute. So I am, again, I like to use my own personal stories for things. So I actually used to do weights a lot, and then I kind of stopped doing weights, and now I use weighted bands instead as my workouts. And the reason being, and again, everyone can do their, and I agree, everyone needs to do their own thing. So I don't want to say that I'm promoting what I'm doing, but for me, it ended up working out okay because my biggest fear is as you get to the heavier weights, the risk of injury becomes probably a bit higher. And so for me, this seems to have negated some of that concern for me. So I switched gears to that. But where I want to go with this question is, how do you guys see it in the fitness world as far as like the weights or someone using weighted bands? And then you even see people in there with like, you know, different cardio workouts and things like that. So how do you kind of go about organizing that and tailoring things like that to meet clients' needs and so forth?
So for me, depending on what their goals are, is going to be the direction I go in, like I said before. If I have anybody gearing towards wanting to trim down, maintain where they're at, I'm going to do weight training, but I'm on the end of we're going to do low weights okay. with high repetitions.
Okay.
So you are hitting the muscle. Right? You're burning it up. You're able to now burn calories, burn the fat cells, do all that within that.
Okay.
But doing that for weeks, months, years, you're now not going to walk out of the gym all of a sudden and having to turn yourself sideways to get out the door, right? Because
yeah.
you're not pushing heavier weight.
Okay. More of an endurance train? Is that the yeah. purpose behind that?
Yeah. And then it's keeping you at a level where, okay, you're going to tone up. You sure. might see that tricep definition line, right? That, okay. you know, a lot of, you know, our female clients out there always want to have. But they're not going to get arms, you know, the size of Ronnie Coleman.
Sure.
You know? But to your point on the heavier weight and higher injury or higher risk of injury, I mean, absolutely. Especially if you don't have a spot, depending on what you're doing, which is where even like me now, I will very rarely actually use the bench for heavy bench press.
Oh, wow, okay. So what do you guys use?
I use the machine.
Oh, really? Okay. Right?
Yeah, so I'll get on. Now, it's still plate loaded.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't have to worry about the bar coming down and crashing my chest, right?
Can you get a machine that can hold enough weight for you to push it? I mean, you seem like you're going to.
So I am at the moment maxed out on the amount of 45 so I can put on some of the pieces of equipment.
Yeah.
And I don't believe the bars will be able to hold the 100-pound plates that are in the gym. So, but even with that, you know, like I may, you know, do a heavy set,
yeah,
get my 8-10 reps in,
okay,
and then instead of doing a rest period, I might bang out, you know, 30 push-ups.
Oh, right, okay. Right?
So now I'm still tiring out the muscle,
right.
More of like an endurance aspect now, but it's giving me a little bit more because, well, yeah, I can't fit any more weight on.
Right.
Or my last set, I'll do a drop set.
Okay.
Where, yeah, I'll pump out my 8-10, take 2 45s off. Now I'm going to go 12-15.
Okay.
Take two more off and gradually increase my reps on that last set.
Will that still help you be able to bulk up in that kind of way? Like, does it still help? Because I guess, are you breaking the muscle down enough? Is that the whole purpose behind that?
Well, at that point, my muscles are already broken down.
Okay.
Just from, yeah, right from the heavy lifting.
Okay.
So that's just more of, for me, for a personal thing, like, let me just get more in. And then, you know, even doing your roundabout of weight training and cardio,
okay.
right? Throw them both in. I use bands with clients too, because it's you have your fast twitch and your slow twitch muscles, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So ones are smaller, ones are bigger.
Okay.
So to hit those fast twitch ones, you know, we want to move.
Sure.
So I might give a client a band and say, hey, look, I don't want you to break your form,
right.
but the whole idea right now is quit.
Yeah.
Let's just go. How many times can we rep out this in a minute,
right.
30 seconds, you
right.
know? But the minute you start breaking form, okay, well, now we've just lost it.
Yeah.
So now we're going to stop, And then we're going to regroup, and we're going to go at it again. Because, I mean, form to me is a lot.
Yeah.
Right? You have proper form, it's going to help you not get injured.
Correct.
I've had people in the past, and I will say more of my high school or college male athletes who, okay, they got the ego, right?
Yeah, as you do.
And they'll come in and I'll, you know, throw a certain amount of weight on whatever we're doing. Like, oh, I can do more than that.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, can you?
Right.
Okay, well, what can you do? So lat pull down is a perfect example. And the momentum they would throw in to bringing this weight down, I go, dude, you didn't move any of that.
Hurt yourself pretty good.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, so let's do it this way. And now I just took you thinking you can do a 100-pound lat pull down to a 70-pound lat pull down because your form's right, your momentum's out of it.
Right.
And it's just like, think about it. If you're putting all this effort in to move your body to move the weight, how much do you think you're actually getting out of that in general?
Because I've seen like even people in the gym, like they're arching and like digging to like try and get the weight up. I'm like, that's probably not the best. I mean, I know it can help, but I'm like, but some of the people you see do it, it's like there's so much momentum behind it.
So that's like a big thing when I look at like powerlifting.
Okay.
Now, I mean, powerlifting has their forms, right? And a big thing in bench press and powerlifting, you'll notice they're really arching that back.
Yes.
And their toes are up on the floor. I've never understood it.
Okay.
You know, to me, I'm like, okay, the whole idea is unrack, bring down, press up, re-rack.
Right.
Well, if I can make myself arch enough where I don't even go through a full range of motion in my bench press, did I really just bench press all that weight?
Yeah.
Now, granted, I'm never going to say that to any type of power lifter because they're all a lot bigger than me.
Right.
But at the same time, yeah, I watch them and like, all I'm thinking is I'm ready to see a disc shoot out your back and bounce all around the gym like it's a ping pong ball or something.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and I completely agree with you, and that's why I kind of think I switched over, because I'd go to the gym a lot on my own, and I'm like, man, trying to lift heavy weights on your own is not the way to go. So then I transitioned over to not have to deal with that, but the weighted band program that I use in particular, it makes you do a lot of reps, and it's brutal, but I find it to be helpful, and you know, knock on wood, been doing it for like 4 years and haven't really hurt myself. So that's, I guess, a positive out of that. But
I feel one of the main ways band workouts can really only go wrong is if you're not paying attention to your bands, if they're getting wear and tear and then one snaps.
Yeah.
Or the standard, you know, blooper videos that are all over the place where someone's using a band to assist themselves on a pull-up.
And it snaps
and
up.
It, you know, you lose your foot on it. And yeah.
I've seen that.
So.
Or you do what my dad does. My dad also uses the same band program that I use. And he was doing squats and his forearms got so fatigued, he dropped the bar and it like smacked down his foot. And it's like, okay, well. Hurts.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of ways to injure yourself still, but I don't know. I've not had to worry about recovering from tearing anything or much of that. So I've been very fortunate for that. But is there anything else you feel that would be good for us to know about the health and fitness industry, or what are your final thoughts here?
I mean, like I said in the beginning, I truly believe consistency is key. If you can stay consistent, you're gonna see results. If you want the quickest results the fastest, well, it's discipline, you know. And even with consistency, it's discipline, you know. But if you really want to break it down, you know, from a weight loss perspective or even a muscle building perspective, you know, writing it all out, getting with someone that knows what they're talking about, You know, not necessarily do like hiring them to be your trainer,
Okay.
but just, hey, what would it be for just a program? Can you design me a program that I'll follow? I've done that for people too. I had somebody who he was getting ready to go on this big ski trip, and leading up to it, he's like, dude, I don't even think I could do 2 hours on the mountain and be able to go out the next day. So he was a straight, high intensity, like a HIIT training type, regiment. But I gave him his protocol. We checked in every 2, 3 weeks, tweaked if I needed to. But I never once saw him in the gym. Here's your program. If you had a question about how to do it, I'd make sure to get him the right link to show how to do it properly. And I gave him, I want to say he was on an 8-week program. Well, he went on that ski trip and he's like, dude,
Crushed it.
he's like, I was able to stay on the mountain and get up and go the next day. So consistency, I would say that's my biggest go-to for, even my clients. I'm like, look, we stay consistent, we're good to go.
I was gonna say, do you want to make one last pitch? Like, what I was gonna ask you about this, the breakdown of like programs that you offer. So like, what do you want to walk us through that really quick?
As far as my programming goes, I gear everything towards you. So if you come in and you want to sit down and talk with me, or get on the phone, text, however we're going to communicate, I want to know what you feel your needs are, and I want to know what your goals are, because that's how I'm going to develop your plan. I do all hour sessions because I just feel like when it comes to doing a warm up, the workout itself, and a cool down, we need the hour,
Makes
right? You
sense.
can't, can you get a lot done in a half hour? Absolutely. But most times, if I'm doing a half hour with somebody, it's because we got some underlying health issues that we're doing this to try and get past. But I don't want to shock the system like that quickly because I don't want anything worse to happen.
Makes sense.
I do try and see clients at least 2 times a week. Right now, it's almost two, just because of having to be at the golf course full time. In the winter, we'll bump up. I bump everyone up to almost three. Because I do feel if you're in at least three, you're getting recovery time, but you're not getting too much recovery time where
Makes
you
sense.
feel like you're gonna restart. And I try to be very understanding of anybody's financial situation to where I want to make sure, okay, hey, look, this is the best I can do. Because at the end of the day, this is still a way that, I make an income,
Still your
right?
time.
It's still a way I pay my bills. But if I can make something work, I do my best to just really be like, okay, you know what? I could do this for this. I do start at a standard of 95 for an hour, $95 for an hour session. A lot of times, like, I'll get asked, well, okay, you're 95, but I can go over here and pay 30. Absolutely.
But what are you
Yeah.
really going
By all means, check it out, see it.
Right.
Maybe that is what you need. But, it's kind of like the same thing. And I'm sure if anybody's on social media, they've all seen it where they talk about like a carpenter, right? About building a deck or something.
That's
And they
insane.
don't want to pay it. So then, oh, can't you just teach me how to do it? Well, sure. Well, first go do this, then go do this, then go do this. And a big thing where, like, I am not self-taught, right? Yes, I know a lot from doing things that I've done in the past, but I've had my instructor, the guy that taught me, the list of names that he has under him of trainers that have gone on to be some of the top celebrity trainers in the world, athletes that have gone on to be some of the top athletes in the world. So the knowledge that kind of I feel I've gotten through a program I went through, not being self-taught, for me, it holds a little bit more volume, I would say. Yeah.
It makes sense. So that's
But
awesome. Okay. Well, I really appreciate your time today and giving us this insight. Like I said, I'm very passionate about this topic, so I really wanted to get someone on and have this conversation. I think it's really important to continue to push, like you said, to try and find a way to make America healthy again if we can, if it's ever a way to do that. So yeah, I really appreciate you coming on and taking the time with us and giving us the insight.
thanks for having me.
Cool. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.